you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined, as always, by staff writer Josh Clark.
Hey, Candace, how's it going?
Hey there.
Hi.
Now, our listeners can't see you, but they should know you're very meaty. And if ever I were hard-pressed and forgot my lunch, I'd eat you.
I don't blame you for that. I've often looked at myself and thought, you know, if it really came down to it, I could eat myself.
Just take a bite out of your arm?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'd start with the arm. It seems logical. Since I'm so meaty, it's tough for me to bend over and bite my own thigh. So, yeah, I'd start with my arm. It just makes sense.
I don't think I'd eat myself.
No, and I wouldn't eat you either. You being a redhead, I imagine you're pretty spicy. Plus, you're a little ropey, actually. I don't imagine there's much to eat on there.
Moving along, cannibalism, it's a hot topic.
Apparently, because we're talking about it. You know, there's a few different kinds of cannibalism.
Tell me more.
Okay, well, there's endocannibalism, which is eating people in your own, like, kin group, you know, family members, that kind of thing. Usually it's a way of ingesting power and keeping it in a lineage or showing respect, that kind of thing.
Sounds like it'd be easier just to inherit grandma's diamonds and wear them, but you're suggesting I eat her.
Yeah. Yeah, I am, okay. Actually. And then there's exocannibalism, I'm sorry. Exocannibalism is the exact opposite. It's eating people outside of your kinship or your kin group. And usually it's out of disrespect, a vanquished foe, somebody you defeated. You're saying, I'm going to eat you, dude. Not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to eat you too. Which is just bad for everybody, except for the person who's eating the other person. And then the third one is survival cannibalism.
This is like soccer teams.
Yes, that's precisely what it is. It's people. It's probably the worst form of cannibalism. I don't mean to put any kind of Western values on the practice of cannibalism, because you can only judge a culture by its own standards, cultural relativism. But the thing is survival cannibalism takes place outside of cultures that have some form of ritualization of cannibalism. These are people who are under the most dire of circumstances, and to survive themselves have to ingest human flesh. There's one really notable example that happened in the U.S., the Donner Party, right?
This is true.
So clear this up for me then.
Okay.
As I understand, there's a discrepancy over whether or not the Donner Party actually ate one another, or there was any cannibalism involved. Is the cannibalism fact or fiction?
It's fact.
Oh, good.
It's fact. And there's a bit of a story behind it. It's not as simple as, you know, boy meets girl.
Never
Boy's
is.
Hungry. Yeah. Boy eats girl.
Mm-hmm.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Okay.
April 14th, 1846. We've got a bunch of gung-ho Americans blazing a trail for the Wild West. They were en route to San Francisco from Springfield, Illinois. They were going to take the California Trail. It was George Donner and his brother Jacob, mm-hmm. and they met up with James Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 33 of them together. They were called the Donner-Reed Party.
Not to be confused with the Donner-Reed Party, known at the time for their tasteful high heels and strings of pearls, right?
Precisely.
Which was kind of weird during westward expansion.
Indeed. And there were no vacuum cleaners involved at that point in time either.
Not yet.
Anyway, so the Donner-Reed Party, mm-hmm. let me not clip any of my syllables off there. The Donner-Reeds set out, and like any good westward expansion story, as they pushed west, they picked up more people. And they had 33 members originally, and they just kept mushrooming and more joined. And later on, the party would break apart into factions because some people heard of the shortcut called the Hastings Cutoff,
mm-hmm.
and they decided that they would try it. It was supposed to shave some time off their trip, which was going to take 6 months. It ended up taking them 2 years.
Yeah, no, it wasn't an entirely unfounded decision to split off and take the Hastings Cutoff, right? Because they were actually going to meet up with the guy who discovered this new pass, Langford Hastings. So, I mean, it's not like they were like, yeah, I heard about this, you know, that kind of thing. The guy was there waiting for him. And they were going to meet up with him, and he was going to take them the rest of the way, right?
And it would have been perfect, except that he left before they got there.
Yeah.
And so they decided they would try the path on their own. And it was very, very treacherous. And to make matters even more ominous, along the way, Hastings left them notes saying things like, "This trail is much worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Turn back now. Save yourselves." Well, back at Ground Zero, where the rest of the Donner-Reed Party was camped out, mm-hmm. people were just sort of hanging tight. They were laying low because it was winter at this point. It was very, very cold. They were in the Sierra Nevadas. It was very hard to traverse the terrain. And things were getting a little bit dire. People were getting old. They were getting hungry. And they were starting to die. And so a group decided that since they were the strongest and hardiest, they were going to branch off too.
Forlorn Hope.
Exactly. The Forlorn Hope group, also called the Snowshoe Group, because mm-hmm. they made little snowshoes for themselves to set out in the snow. So they go off looking for help. The people back at camp, they're doing everything they can just to stay alive.
Like, they've literally had to settle in for the winter. They aren't trying to move any further as a large group.
Oh, no. They're down to their pack animals. They're starting to eat their horses. Then they start hunting. And because it's winter, it's very hard to find prey. So then they turn to eating their dogs.
Which I found curious that you would eat your pack animals and then hunt and then eat your dogs. Because I love my dogs, but compared to a good pack animal, all three of them are totally useless. And then the hunting part, why would you do that in between? Why wouldn't you hunt first and then maybe the dogs and then the pack animals and then humans?
I can't really speak to their logic, but after the dogs, they tried boiling their blankets and gathering twigs from the forest and making a very strange glue-like soup.
I might have even tried that first.
Well, and then this is where it gets really, really juicy. The first human died, and as his corpse is lying there, people are looking at it and just, you know, starting to wonder. But
they ended up leaving him behind.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Not two times in a row, though.
No, because at this point, the Snowshoe Group, Forlorn Hope, back with them now, the same thing has happened. The first person has died. And they've decided, times are this rough, we're going to go ahead and chow down. So they start some ground rules. They decide that they're not going to eat anyone they're related to, and they're not going to kill anyone for food.
Right.
If someone dies, they're fair game, quite literally.
Lucky for them, people were dropping left and right.
There you go. But then things got heated up a little bit when a young guy, like an actual young person, mm-hmm. died, Jay Fosdick, and Mrs. Foster went ahead and cooked him up and ate him.
And fed him to the Native American guides, I understand.
Right. And Jay Fosdick's father did not like that. And he shot them and killed them.
Which is totally against the rules as well, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So things are really falling apart by this point.
I think when they ate the first bite of flesh, things had fallen apart fully.
Well, it gets even worse.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Because then people start fabricating stories about what rules they did and didn't break. And eventually when people start coming back to camp and the rescue workers finally move in to rescue all the disparate groups that mm-hmm. exist all across the Sierra Nevadas by now, they find that one guy is like cooking people.
Louis Kiesberg is his name. Yeah. He was like, the rescue parties came in groups and could only take a certain number of people out at a time, right? And he was left behind with, I think, four other people. And when the rescue party finally came back to get him, he was sitting there fat and happy with several delightful dishes featuring human flesh cooking around him. And the real kicker of the whole thing was that there were two perfectly good ox legs sitting there, and he was eating the human. So he eschewed the pack animal and apparently dogs and you know, the glue-like soup, and just went right to the cannibalism, because I guess he liked it. And he was accused of murdering the people. He said, no, they died of starvation, and what's more, I didn't like it. I didn't like eating it, but I sure ate them up.
And at this point in time, the media had gotten wind of the Donner-Reed party, and they started publishing all sorts of grisly details of the journey. And, you know, I really have to sympathize with them, because their conditions were rough. People were dying left and right. Who knows what was going through their minds? Who knows if they were even in their right minds at this point in time? And a lot of the legends died with them, because people found that it was very painful to talk about. Mm-hmm. And what's more, they tried to do the right thing, even after they'd eaten these people, boiled their flesh, and you know, washed it down their gullets with snow or what have you, they tried to give the bones a proper burial. And because of that, there's not a lot of anthropological evidence that cannibalism did exist. So we're going off of these oral accounts.
Right, which I think are pretty much concrete. I mean, I don't think people would say, yeah, we ate other people when you didn't. Not in this society.
Well, you can make that decision for yourself when you read How the Donner Party Worked on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralask brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralask pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.